We're going to be looking a little bit at the book of Philippians this morning. If you'd like to turn there, we'll just quickly glance at it. It's just basically one verse, but it's a tremendous book of scripture that Paul has recorded for us and that God has given to us, and just really renews our heart. Danny Morris was a pastor, and he spent most of his time in the upper room. Some of you read the Upper Room devotional, and for many years he ministered in the Upper Room down in Nashville, Tennessee, and he was also quite a storyteller. And he tells a story about a man who was a rather cantankerous, grumpy, mean old kind of a coot, you know. And one day, his neighbors couldn't get along with him. His sons moved out of the house as soon as they could because they just couldn't stand his grumpy, cantankerous character. His wife had to live with him, and so that demands a lot of patience and a lot of strength and a lot of perseverance, does it not? Well, one day his sons received word that he had slipped away, and maybe you've heard this story, but he had slipped away, and so they came home, and they said, you know what? Paul was sort of a mean, cantankerous old guy, but said his neighbors didn't really like to associate with him. Said, we're so glad, and we were able to move out of the house as quick as we could, and Ma, we know you had to put up with a lot of years of this grumpy old guy, but, you know, he was our Paul, and he does deserve a decent burial. And there's a nice meadow out beyond the field and the barn there that, you know, would be a nice place to actually lay him to rest. And so they went out to the barn, and they built themselves a casket and put Paul in the casket, and they picked him up, and they went to carry him out through the barn gate. And one of them hit the edge of the barn gate, hit the pole, and dropped the casket. And when it dropped the casket, the lid flew off, and old Paul went flying. He went sitting up, you know, and he really wasn't dead at all. He went sitting right straight up and said, what in the world is going on here? Well, Paul continued to live another 2 years. Again, his neighbors avoided him. His sons didn't come home very often, and his wife had to live with him, trying to be as patient as she could. And once again, they received word after about 2 years that he had passed away. And so once again, they came home. They said, you know, what are we going to do with Paul? Well, he was our Paul. He deserves a decent burial, even though friends didn't like him. And we tried to get out of the house. And Ma, we know that you were very patient living with him. But he does deserve a decent burial. And again, the meadow is still available. So why don't we just bury him out in the meadow? So they went out into the barn. And once again, they built a casket. And they put old Paul in the casket. And they lifted him up on the shoulders once again to carry him out to the meadow. And Ma stopped him and said, now, son, remember, the last time you went through that barn gate, just don't bump the post. You know, I don't know whether you find that really humorous or not, but, you know, I think that we as Christians, we need to be able to laugh. I mean, life can get pretty serious at times. And I've got some videos I want to show you, not today. I was talking to Elaine about this, and sometimes we get offended about the least little things in life, and she said, oh, they won't get offended because she thought I was talking about her anyway. So, But George Jantz has a story to tell, and George Jantz was quite a storyteller, and he had a song that was quite amazing. But, you know, as Christians, we should have a passionate devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. After all, we are part of the chosen people. God has loved us. And he says to us very simply that he came to give us not a discouraging life. He didn't come to give us more than we could bear. It says he came to give us life and life abundantly. And so we as Christians ought to be able to laugh. We ought to be able to smile because the joy of the Lord really indeed is our strength. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking a little bit about joy and laughter and humor and the things that Paul tells us in the book of Philippians. But before we do, I want to just read to you some real true headlines that come from our morning newspapers. And I find that sometimes what you mean to say, you really don't, it doesn't come out right. And when you put it in print, it doesn't come out right. Here's some of those from actual newspaper headlines. Here's the first one. Grandmother of 8 makes hole in one. Now, I don't know whether she was golfing or whether she just decided to make a hole in one of her grandkids, but grandmother of 8 makes hole in one. Here's one. I love this one. House passes gas tax on to Senate. There's a lot of gas in our Congress, okay? Here's another one that doesn't come out quite right. Queen Mary, and you know what Queen Mary is, right? But it says, Queen Mary having bottom scraped. Here's some bad grammar. Eye drops off shelf. Squad helps dog bite victim. Dealers will hear car talk at noon. And here's the obvious. If strike isn't settled quickly, it may last a while. Does that settle? Does that sound? Or cold wave linked to temperatures. Duh. I mean, really, it's true. I mean, it really is. And I can see right now that some of you just take life too seriously because you can't even find that humorous. But, you know, when you read the papers and you come across something like that, doesn't it sort of cause you to laugh? I mean, laughter is good for you. I mean, it reduces your stress. It causes your lung to expand. It releases endorphins that deal with your pain. If you're dealing with a lot of pain, I guarantee you, you need to laugh a little bit because it really releases those things that deal with the pain. It helps us deal with creativity because it has to deal with the left side of the brain, deals with that. It helps our blood pressure. Is it any wonder that the book of Proverbs says, a cheerful heart does good like what? Medicine. I mean, just think how much medicine and how much cost we could save the pharmacy industry and our health insurance if we only learned to laugh once in a while. But sometimes we take life a little bit too seriously, and it's been said by research that 40% of those who take life too seriously and who have the negative view of life are 40% more likely to have a heart attack. If you don't want to have a heart attack, friends, I will say to you, you need to laugh once in a while. Lighten up, okay? Have fun in life and enjoy life. But there's all sorts of laughters that we have in life, and I want to just mention a few of these this morning. If you go to the Bible, you'll find that there's several kinds of laughter. One is the laughter of unbelief. And the laughter of unbelief we can find in the book of Genesis chapter 18, and we all know the story there because Abraham and Sarah were a couple that God came to one day and said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the sand of the sea. And so they lived and lived and lived and lived and lived, and they got up to about 85 years of age, and they didn't have a child. And one day, what happens is two men come who are men of God, and they tell Abraham that his wife is with child. And she says, it says very simply, Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed. She didn't believe that God could really conceive in her own womb and cause her to bring forth a child. And so there's that laughter of unbelief, that laughter of jest, that laughter of sarcasm that we sometimes have in our life. We really can't believe it, and so we're going to laugh. And then there's the laughter of a fool. In Ecclesiastes 7:6 says, for as a crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. And so we all know what this is like because he's talking about building a fire. And so you build this little fire in a fire pit. You put your little Dutch oven over the top of it. And what happens is the logs or the thorns are on fire, they eventually turn to embers, and they cease glowing, they cease putting off heat. And so what happens is, he says, sometimes the laughter of a fool is like that. They believe that if only they can laugh, you know, at the craziest things of life. For instance, there are those who have told me, if only I just drink a little bit, you know, just have a few beers here and there, it loosens my inhibitions, and I'm able to enjoy life and loosen up and really have fun in life. That's what happens when the high wears off. What happens when the drug high wears off, when the intoxication wears off? Again, the Bible says very simply, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Now, you know, I have to admit that today there's a lot of laughter that's vulgar. You know, I mean, how many of you can remember Red Skelton or Lucille Ball or Tim Conway? I mean, there was clean humor. Today we sort of verge over into this laughter of a fool that really verges on the vulgar and that tries to use all the crass to make people laugh. But laughter, the laughter of a fool. I think about a true story of a doctor. His name was Dr. James Hamilton. He was a doctor in Manchester, England. And one day a man came in to see him and said, Doc, I'm sick. And he says, well, what's going on? He says, well, I'm just so depressed. I just can't handle life any longer. He says, I don't have a desire to get out of bed. I don't have a desire to move. Nothing makes me laugh. He says, if you can't help me, I'm going to take my life if you can't help me sooner or later. And he says, well, you know, we'll find a cure for you. In fact, there's some things that we can do. But you know what I would suggest that you do? He says, there's a circus in town. And I went to the circus last night, and there's this clown by the name of Grimaldi who was there entertaining, and he was so funny, I just about split my sides laughing at him. And this flash of pain crossed over this man's life and said, Doc, don't joke with me. He says, I'm not joking. He says, don't joke with me. He says, I am Grimaldi the clown. You know, there are things of life that happen to us, and we can make people laugh, but sometimes our heart is broken on the inside. You know, we try to fake it, but we can't even make it. And then we've talked about the laughter of God. Psalm chapter 2, it says that God sits in his heavens and laughs. And who does he laugh at? It says he laughs at the conspirator. He laughs at those who are actually trying to overthrow his kingdom, those who say there is no God. God sits there and laughs at them because here are these puny little human beings who think that they can somehow slap God in his face and insult him. They can't insult God. They can't take away his right to rule. God is sovereign. And then, of course, there's the laughter of salvation. Jesus says, "Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." I think about the book of Luke where it says that when one person gives their heart to Jesus Christ, what happens? All of heaven rejoices. All of heaven laughs. All of heaven, you know, slaps each other with a high five. Praise God, we got another one in the kingdom of God. But all these are different kinds of laughter. The laughter of God, the laughter of unbelief, the laughter of the fool, the laughter of salvation. And yet I know that some of us live our lives and we have a motto that's basically like the motto of that child's prayer that says, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." We really don't have anything to laugh about. And yet as Christians, we ought to be able to laugh because I believe that laughter is a blessing from God. Do you? I believe being able to laugh is a blessing from God. In fact, some of you, you think about a baby. And a baby exudes the ability to smile sometime after they're born. We say, well, that's just gas. No, babies really learn how to smile. Now, for those of you who can't relate to babies, if you have a dog, I want to tell you this. Your dog will smile. And where does that dog learn to smile? He learns it from his owner, okay? But a baby, we're talking about a different thing here. And I know what babies do. When babies smile, what happens? I mean, we just become ridiculously crazy. Yeah, I know that. When we have a baby here and the baby sits up and turns around and looks at one of you and smiles, I see it. You know, you go goofy. I mean, you go crazy. And you try to be funny back at that baby and try to make it smile, and you're just, wow, you know, that's really neat. And it is neat because I love it when a baby smiles because it just does something for us. You know, children laugh 150 times a day on the average. We adults laugh about 4 times per day. I mean, grumpy old cantankerous adults. Man, we ought to learn how to laugh like a child, you know? Now, I realize that life can be tough, and it can be cruel, it can be hard. And I realize that sometimes that we are the victim of somebody else's cruelty. You know, life happens, life stinks, and sometimes people's, you know, sinful behavior affects us in ways that really just hurt us. But there are times in our life when we need to build a bridge and get over it, okay? We need to build a bridge and get over it. I don't say that to hurt anybody this morning or to make light of anything, but, you know, Jesus says, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other one. You know, if they ask you to carry their satchel 1 mile, carry it 2. He also says things like forgive, and I'm saying, oh, I can't do that. And he's not telling us to forgive just because, he's not saying to deny it. He's not saying pretend it doesn't exist. What's he saying to do? He's saying forgive because that's the way you will be free. Just turn it over to me. Let me handle it. Let me bear it for you. And so Jesus says things like, you know, do you want to be made well? Paul says it this way in the book of Philippians. He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of my high calling in Christ Jesus. So basically, we need to learn how to forget the past. Again, not deny it. Don't pretend it didn't exist because it did. But somehow give that situation to God. You will still have the scar. You will still have the pain, but by giving it to God and forgiving, he liberates you to where you're able to become a person that's made after his image. So you forget the past, he says, you forge into the future, and you claim eternity, because the whole matter of it is that Jesus Christ wants his character formed within your own heart. So sometimes we need to be able to forgive, we need to be able to press on, and we need to be able to focus upon eternity, because that is what we will become. That's who we will become. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Now again, you know, joy and laughter, I think are blessings from God. And I think about a story of Johnny Erickson Tada, and some of you know her story. Here was a young girl who was diving into a pond one day, and she struck her head and became paralyzed from the neck down. She was a quadriplegic, and so she's confined to this wheelchair. And she's learned since then how to paint with her mouth, and she speaks. Some of you may hear her devotional on the radio. You've read her books. She speaks at varieties of women's conferences. But one day she had a break in her conference, and she decided to go to the restroom. And there in the restroom, of course, I find out that for ladies, the restroom becomes the social center, you know. You know, they could spend hours in the restroom. I don't know what they do, but they must visit just like Johnny was doing that day. But one woman turned to her and said, Johnny, says, you always seem to have it so together. You always seem to be so happy sitting there in that wheelchair. And Johnny thought to herself, how do I share in 60 seconds what it has taken me 3 to 4 decades to learn? And she says, well, you know, I don't do that. Let me tell you how a typical normal day goes. She says, my husband Ken gets up. He leaves for work at about 6 a.m. in the morning. And I lay there until 7 a.m. when my friend comes in and I hear her put on the coffee pot out in the kitchen. And there I lay in my bed and I say, Lord, soon she will be coming into this room. And she will be getting me up, bathing me, brushing my teeth, combing my hair, sitting me up in that chair, getting me dressed. And she says, Lord, I can't have the strength, that I don't have the strength to face this day one more time. I don't have the strength, she says. I don't have the resources. But Lord, I don't have a smile to make it through the day, but can I have yours? I don't have a smile, but may I have yours? And then one of the women said, well, what happens next? And she says, when the friend walks in, and she says, well, when that friend comes in through the door, I turn to her and give her a great big smile. And then I give her a great big smile that's not from my heart, but that's sent from the heart of God. It's sent from heaven itself. It's God's smile. And she says, you know what? That's the only way to live. It's the Christian way to live. And sometimes we have to make a choice like Johnny. Life stinks. Life's hard. Life's cruel. But to understand that God gives us his spirit and he gives us this joy that's deep down within us that enables us to, you know, not have a smile of our own, but have the smile of God that breaks through our faith, that face that's of his. You know, back in the late 60s, early 70s, I loved to watch Hee-Haw on Saturday night. How many of you were Hee-Haw fans? And do you remember who was on Hee-Haw? You had Rory Clark and Buck Owens and Minnie Pearl and, well, you had a man by the name of Grady Nutt. You know, they sat there in that straw, you know, chewing on straw, waiting for the red light in town to turn green. Grady Nutt was a Baptist pastor. He was also a comedian. And he had this saying that I tremendously like, laughter is the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. Isn't that great? Laughter is the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. So we come to the book of Philippians. We come to the book of Philippians, and Paul understands that our joy, our laughter, is not based in people. It's not based in situations. It's not based in circumstances. It's not based in location. Our joy is anchored in none other than Jesus Christ himself. People change, circumstances change, but Jesus, God, never changes. And what is amazing is that Paul writes this book called Philippians from a jail cell. I mean, I go back and I read how some of these jail cells were constructed. Think about this. Paul had been beaten, he had been abused, he had been neglected, he was now chained to the wall. There were many times that those jail cells had the sewer system running right through the jail cell. Can you imagine that? You've got cuts and bruises on your bodies. It's not the most cleanliness environments of all. And you've got the stench of the sewer running right at your feet. My word, I went to take my garbage out last week and I raised up the lid and I thought, my word, what in the world did we put in here? You know? I was talking to someone last week who says that once in a while they'll work at the garbage dump. I said, man, I'd like to do that once in a while. They said, yeah, but it stinks. I said, yeah, but look at all the stuff out there, you know? You know, you can have joy even in the midst of a garbage pile, amen? There's a lot of stuff that you can find. But nonetheless, here's Paul. He's anchored to this chain. He's living in this jail cell, and yet the book of Philippians, is the theme of it is joy. Joy, happiness, laughter. And so in Philippians 4:4, what does he say? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because we have a God who's bigger than all of our situation and circumstances. Jesus, at the end of his life, gathered his disciples in an upper room. And he began to share with them how he was going to go away, and yet there was going to be a place he was preparing for them. And then he goes on in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John, and he says, you know what? I'm going to go away, but you're going to have joy. You're going to have the joy of the Holy Ghost in your life. You're going to have trials, yeah, but take heart in this. I have overcome the world, and you shall overcome the world as well when you live in me. I mean, laughter is not cheap. It cost Jesus Christ his life. It cost God his son. But laughter, the laughter of heaven, reminds us that this world is not all there is. We go through problems of life, but God is greater than all of those problems. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Amen? I mean, I'm a child of God. You're a child of God if you have a faith in Jesus Christ. I've been bought. I've been chosen. I've been redeemed. I have a home in heaven. You know, all these things come in on my life, but they can't defeat me. I can still have a smile because I know that in the end, I win because God wins. I have a home in heaven, and I can have life here, and I have a life now. I mean, how can I live this kind of a joy-filled life? Well, I would encourage you, maybe one, to read the book of Philippians. We're going to be looking through the book of Philippians and finding out how to deal with those concerns and cares that we have in our life. And I might show this little video of George Yontz next week because I think it's very humorous. And I guess, according to Lane, if you guys get offended, you just get offended, okay? I'm going to put it all over on you, okay? All right. But anyway, you know, read the book of Philippians. I mean, it's a joy-filled book. Start the day with prayer. I don't know about you, but I wake up some days, according to my wife, and I'm grumpy. You know, I can be cantankerous. And I have to say like Johnny Erickson, Lord, I don't have the resources for this day. Would you send me your smile? Because the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. And if I don't have a joy to walk my Christian life, you know, I'm going to just slodge through that day and I'm going to try to make it on. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. God, give me a smile. Read the book of Philippians. Ask God for his strength. Ask God for his smile. Maybe you might want to read a book of clean humor or watch some good humor on a video. Don't watch this garbage that we have that tries to mask itself as humor. Get some of the old stuff and watch it. I don't know about you, but I even laugh still at the Beverly Hillbillies. You know, Jethro. Wanted to be a brain surgeon. Last week he was trying to be a spy. You know, he outfitted his old truck with a coal stove on the back to make smoke, and he had a barrel for his oil slick, and he had an iron hat that he kept hitting himself cuckoo with, and well, Granny got into it, and this thing, this wash tub fell over her, and she couldn't get out of it, and it was his bulletproof shield, but he couldn't see out of it, you know. Last Friday, we were having a birthday party for Katie's youngest, Caroline. She turned 1 year old, and Will, who's 2 years old, you know, well, he's 2 years old, and that that explains everything. But we were getting ready to go home, and I said to Will, he was walking by, and I said, Will, I said, you care if I stay overnight and sleep in your bed? He goes, no. And I go, all right. And he goes, all right. I said, high five. He goes, high five. And I said, whoa. And he ran across the room going, oh, oh, oh. And then Greg says, well, you haven't slept with him for an hour yet, so. You know, it's being able to laugh. Sonia Ely tells a story about Christy, who was her little granddaughter. And she was, you know, when kids are small, they play doctor, and they play house, and they play restaurant. I mean, we had a McDonald's kind of a thing at home, and they'd put it on, they'd wear all those sorts of things. But she was playing wedding one day, and she had her teddy bear. She was going to marry her teddy bear. It was her groom. And she was, first of all, the mother and telling everybody what to do. And then she became the bride, and she had her teddy bear out there, and she was coming before the pastor, and she said, okay, pastor, you can now read us our rights. And then and then she became the pastor, and she said, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be held against you. You have the right to an attorney present. You may now kiss the bride. You know, children, they have a way of seeing things, do they not? But laughter is, again, it's a blessing sent from God. And hopefully we learn to laugh and we learn to know what it means to have that joy of the Lord because it is our strength. I mean, life is cruel enough. Life weighs us down too much. And, you know, when you're walking through life and you're just burdened down, I mean, it's good to have a good laugh once in a while. It's good to laugh sometimes, even at your problems, because why? You can laugh at the problems and you can laugh at the devil because you are belonging and you belong to the one who's the king of all the universe. He's king of kings and lord of lords, and he has won. And because he has won, you too will win. Precious Lord, we thank you and we praise you this day for your goodness and grace. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for all that you will do for us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we become a people who knows what it means to celebrate our relationship with you, that we will know what it means to laugh, that we will know what it means to have the joy of the Lord in our own heart, because we are a king's kid, we are royalty. We belong to the family of God. Father, I pray that you would bless us today in all ways and all means. And Lord Jesus, may you always receive the praise. Amen.